On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
And right on 10:30, let's see what's been happening with Greyhounds over the last week and what's coming up this week. The man who's got his finger right on the paw is John Brash. Morning, John.
Good morning to you, Sean. Good morning, everyone. Yes, it's been a big week in greyhound racing to start the year, and it will continue over the next coming weeks. We've got some mouth-watering greyhound racing in the next coming week with Heats of the Paws of Thunder next Saturday night at Wentworth Park. We look forward to those, and some of the greyhounds that lined up there on Saturday night winding up their preparations were outstanding. We're going to catch up with a few of the participants very, very shortly. Well, taking a look back in review of greyhound racing over the last week, on Tuesday night at Gosford, we ran the Gosford Gold Cup final at Group 2 level. The favourite there was Beast Unleashed for Jody Lagoziani after its track record-breaking run in the heat the week prior. And we might go back and have a listen to Johnny Mack's call of the Gosford Cup from Tuesday night.
Racing now, fastest away in the centre was Beast Unleashed underneath at Skywave. At Beast Unleashed running to the lead over Skywave and came in third place. Federal Lily as they run down the back straight. They were followed over on the inside by Who's Got Class. Now a good way back to Cosmic Bonus. They were followed by She's Gifted on the outside as Champion Model and dropping to the tail of the field. A long way back there was Nanga Race, but as they travel towards the turn, Beast Unleashed the leader. Beast Unleashed from She's Gifted, Cosmic Bonus. They were followed by Champion Model.
Yeah, Beast Unleashed for Jody Lagoziani was able to lead throughout to score in 29 and 15. Held off the late challenge of She's Gifted, who got held up in the early and middle stages of the race going into the first turn. And by the time that she got into the clear, Beast Unleashed was off and gone with the big prize of $40,000. And what a great run again by the old-timer Cosmic Bonus for Evelyn Harris in third position. Of course, She's Gifted, trained by Deborah Coleman. And we caught up with Deborah last week and Peter Lagoziani the previous week, and no doubt they'll be heading towards the Paws of Thunder coming up this Saturday night at Wentworth Park. And I'm not sure about Cosmic Bonus, whether he'll make the trip down to Sydney to take on the runners in the Paws of Thunder on Saturday night, but whatever Evelyn Harris has got in time for the old-timer, he no doubt will be hard to beat anything that he can test there. Champion Model was able to run fourth there and backed up to win at Wentworth Park on Saturday night, and Jodie Lord will be waiting for her patiently to come on season, and she'll be retired to the breeding barn shortly thereafter. But Beast Unleashed made a one-act affair of the Group 2 Gold Cup at Gosford last Tuesday night, running 29 and 15. Well, the staying ranks didn't let us down on Friday night at Richmond either. Poco Dorado for Johnny Finn was able to score yet again and racing away to score by 8 3/4 lengths in 35.09, and that was just 0.09 outside of the long-standing track record, and began brilliantly out of box number 3 and was able to carve out 9.57 early, 19.80 second split and a blistering 35.09. And Poco Dorado will no doubt be heading to Wentworth Park on Saturday night and taking on the Litter Brothers and Sisters again in the Summer Plate heats over the 7.20 at Group 2 level at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. Well, the other feature of the week on Saturday night down in Victoria was the running of the Silver Chief final, and the favourite there was Baruga Brett for Brooke Ennis and drawn box number 1, and we might catch up with Ronnie Hawkswell's call of the Silver Chief for 2019.
Racing Baruga Brett out fast on the inside there with Sonachi. They go together early, followed by Kinlock Moss and Fantastic Yankee. Back on the inside out of the straight, and Baruga Brett's held them out, led by half-length Sonachi. 10 lengths away then came Fantastic Yankee, followed by Rio Brave, then Kinlock Moss, Peter Allen, followed by Chips and Trains, and Slingshot Hammer at the tail. Baruga Brett narrowly, Sonachi the outside, 8 or 10 lengths, Fantastic Yankee and Rio Brave into the straight though. Baruga Brett the leader, got a surge on here, it's the favourite Silver Chief. Baruga Brett a length and a half to 2, Sonachi a gapway third, tight, it's either Fantastic Yankee or Rio Brave behind them.
Yeah, Baruga Brett, a one-act affair again of the 2019 Silver Chief, their $100,000 to winner. Second was Sonachi for Stephen White in the New South Wales visitor, Fantastic Yankee for Jason Fletcher in third position, 29-73, just over two lengths the winning margin to Baruga Brett. Started 2019 the way it finished 2018. Of course, won a prelude to the Melbourne Cup in a blistering 29.08 at Sandown Park, won the Melbourne Cup sprint in 29-28, and now takes out the its first Group 1 victory and pushed its prize money total over $214,000, and no doubt will be set for the Australian Cup Carnival coming early in the year. And that is Baruga Brett, an outstanding performance there. Sticking with Victoria, we had the heats of the Warrigal Cup on Friday night, and the heat winners there were Elevated in 25-48, Kuda Mayhem 26-20, Italian Plastic in 25-88, Orson Ellen in 25-53, and Jabrina in 25-61. It was Harry Manolitis to the fore there, with two winners, with Elevated and also Italian Plastic. The box draw for the final of the Warrigal Cup sees Big Flood in 1, Italian Plastic 2, Short of Excite in 3, Kuda Mayhem 4, Jabrina 5, Orson Ellen 6, Elevated 7, Dinah Hunter in 8, the reserves are Zoom Out and Black Mambo. The tab.com.au market has gone up on the Warrigal Cup final, and Orson Ellen is the favourite at $3.50, Dinah Hunter at $3.80, Big Flood at $4.20, Elevated $4.20, Jabrina at $8, Italian Plastic at $11, Zoom Out at $12, Kuda Mayhem $31, Black Mambo $34, and Short to Excite at $41. So Orson Ellen has been installed the favourite for the Warrigal Cup final at $3.50. Was good to see on Thursday night at Sandown Park the win there of the top line Hasten Slowly, the Brisbane Cup winner for Angela Langton, continuing on its winning way, 29-26 at Sandown Park on Thursday night to Hasten Slowly. Over in the West on Friday night, they had heats of the Mandurah Birthday Cup at Group 3 level. The heat winners there were Westdale Prince for Andrew McLaren in 22.74, Alpha Tonic in 23.10, Kuara's Emma 22.72, Cosmic Ox in 22.62, and Comic Gas in 22.67. So not a lot separating those heat winners there. And at Cannington on Saturday night, heats of the Listed Summer Chase, West on Bamboo took out the first heat for Chris Hells in 34.98, and Yundurup Tank for Andrew McLaren won the second heat in 34.78. The box draw for that final is 1.88, 2 Dinah Orthal, 3 Motu Doll, 4 Reedy's Runner, 5 Darren Allen, 6 West on Lily, 7 Yundurup Tank, and 8 West on Bamboo, the reserve Serve Talk and Vern Allen. That was the heats of the Summer Chase at Cannington on Saturday night. A little closer to home at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. As I said, a lot of the runners wound out preparations for the Paws of Thunder heats coming up this Saturday night. We had Veloce Nero winning in 29.99 on the program. Champion Model in 30.30. Buck's Future was impressive for City Swain, running 29.70. And we also had Rostered On for Chris Carl, who's back full-time training again, winning in 29.82. But I thought the performance of the night, as most people did, was the win of Zipping Falcon. And we might have a listen back to Tim's call of Zipping Falcon winning at Wentworth Park on Saturday night.
Falcon came out on his nose. Blazin' Fletch came out running, went too clear. Going to second, Caitlin Keeping. They'll followed by Zipping Falcon, getting through to third, six from the leader. They'll followed by Black Nevada, then Eleanor Rascal, followed by Metallic Flash, and then Stilton Stitch. And back at the rear of the field is Shock coming off the back. The leader, Caitlin Keeping. Zipping Falcon is coming hard. Caitlin Keeping in front. Zipping Falcon wearing it down. Big win, massive win. Zipping Falcon has beaten Caitlin Keeping.
Yes, Timmy said a massive win by Zipping Falcon, and we've got Zipping Falcon's trainer Jason Magri coming online to join us this morning. Jason, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, John. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. That was an outstanding performance by Zipping Falcon on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was. His box manners aren't the best, but he's starting to learn how to race through the field and come home strong, so starting to put it together in that way. So
Jason, a similar run to the previous week, Zipping Falcon. He was in early trouble again after missing the kick and weaved his way through the field. And as you say, with race experience, he is learning to get through the field a lot better now these days.
Yeah, he is. It's taken him probably 20 starts to work it out before he would charge up behind him and run to the back of him and that. But now he's sort of going in between dogs and bulleting his way through him and that, and finding the line pretty good, so which is good.
And that's a sign of an intelligent greyhound, that he's got the nous to be able to duck and weave between runners and make his own luck in races.
Yeah, he's intelligent that way, but he's a pretty laid-back sort of a dog too, so he doesn't muck around or anything like that at home. He's just real laid-back in that way. But racing-wise, yeah, he's starting to work it out, figure out things, what to do, which is good.
Well, he gave group place getter Caitlin Keeping a fair start down the back straight, but he was able to motor home over the concluding stages and run away to win by a length and a half in 29.88. The time doesn't really matter, but the effort was outstanding from box one, and see, he remains unbeaten from box number one now.
Yeah, he does. He seems to like the inside. It's always a good advantage with dogs that don't normally begin on rails, so he seems to like being there, so yeah, it's good.
Now, Dodette, you'll put a nomination in tomorrow for the Heats of the Paws of Thunder on Saturday night. You'll give him a crack at that?
Yeah, we're going to head that way with him, yeah. So we'll put a nom in tomorrow and hope we're right inside box then with him.
Now, Jason, he's buying Yabasha Bailout of Crafty Lady. He's probably bred to get a little further. With his box manners and the way he does race and get home very strongly, have you given any consideration at this stage to stepping him up in journey?
Not at this stage with him. They are bred to run 700, especially if Hellenham's breed. Probably later on down the track, we'll have to step in up another 600 or something and go from there, see if he can run further. But at this stage, while he's racing good in town and negotiating his way through the field the way he is, I'm just going to keep him in the 500s for now.
All right. Yeah, of course, you don't have the option of a 600 there at Wentworth Park. You'd have to probably take him to the provincials or possibly send him interstate.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't got any 600 city racing, so if you have to race for the good money out of 600, you probably have to go to Brisbane with them and chase some good money that way with them.
With his box manners, is he's always shown that he doesn't come out of a box since you had him as a pup?
He's always been that way, yeah. I missed a kick bad, and always, once he balances up, he takes off, so it's just the way the dog is. He can't help it. He goes in good. He settles good, but he hasn't got the knack of it timing it. So it's just the dog's makeup. You can't change it.
What he makes up for it in lack of early pace, he certainly, as we mentioned, makes up for it in intelligence with him weaving through the field. Now, what about after the Paws of Thunder? Have you got anything mapped out for him at this stage, or just take him through the grades?
I'll probably just take him through the grades. My next probably race after is a Richmond Derby. That's probably the next race with him I want to aim him up for. But that's still probably 8 weeks away. So we'll just take him through the grades at Winnie as it goes.
All right, well, you're having a lot of fun with him at the moment. Of course, he won last Saturday week, and then you went to Gosford on Tuesday night and ran second there behind Buck's Future, and the form was cemented with Buck's Future coming out and winning again on Saturday night, and you were able to win again with the win on Saturday night. And we wish you the best of luck going into the heats of the Paws of Thunder, and as you say, let's hope he can draw a decent Ellie over near the inside and get a crack at them and try and make it through to the final the following week.
Yeah, no worries, John. Thank you. Much appreciated.
Thanks for your time, Jason. That's Jason Magary, the trainer of Zipping Falcon, certainly creating a lot of interest at the moment with the way he's racing, and he's certainly going into the Paws of Thunder in great form. So that's Zipping Falcon we'll keep an eye on. Now, news from Victoria that today that the launching pad nominations open for 2019. They will open at midday today. There will be 64 entry forms available and a massive $432,000 in prize money up for grabs, with the winner of the Group 2 final pocketing $150,000. A consolation series will be conducted again this year. And for the first time in 2019, a $22,000 consolation for the Greyhounds that finished third and fourth in the semis will be run. The series is open to Greyhounds with 1 to 6 wins with no more than 30 starts. Entry forms cost $2,000, fully transferable up until the Friday prior to the close of nominations. The heats of the 2019 launching pad will be run on Thursday, the 4th of April, with the final to be run on Thursday, the 18th of April. So you can click on to the Sandown Greyhound Racing Club's website for further details there. But the launching pad sweepstakes nominations are available. Entry forms are available from midday today from Greyhound Racing Victoria. Also, Sandown have announced the three finalists in the Sandown Greyhound of the Year. And, gee, what a lineup this is going to be. The judging panel's going to have their time cut out for this. My Redeemer, the Melbourne Cup winner, Poke the Bear, who won the Speed Star at Sandown in September, and also Tornado Tears. So the three finalists in the Sandown Greyhound of the Year, My Redeemer, Poke the Bear, and Tornado Tears. A note from the Warhope Greyhound Racing Club that they had to abandon their meeting again due to their heat policy on Saturday night, and the Warhope Supporters Cup Butcher Monthly Maiden Final, which was scheduled for this week, will now be moved to next Saturday night, January 12. A consolation of the Maiden will also be run next Saturday. All other events for Saturday, January 5 meeting, the heats of the Warhope Cup, the local bookmaker sprint, and the Ken Little Fruit and Veg have been abandoned. Fresh nominations will be called for the Warhope Cup, the local bookmaker sprint, and the Ken Little Fruit and Veg. All the three events will now be run as best eights, with preference given to those originally nominated. So that's for Warhope next Saturday night, and let's hope that meeting can get underway, and that Warhope Cup will be run as a best eight plus those other races as I mentioned. Well, over the weekend, news filtered through from Tasmania that Leroy Rogue, the star of Tasmanian greyhound racing over the last 12 months for Debbie Cannon and owner Jeff Crawford, was to be a scratching out of the heats of the Devonport Cup tomorrow. And we've got owner Jeff Crawford coming on the line to tell us why. Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Jeff, unfortunately, he sustained an injury and has been scratched out of the heats of the Devonport Cup tomorrow.
Yeah, that's correct, John. He had a track gallop with Debbie on Thursday after the last down at Bellwick or Hobart, and sustained a drop-back muscle, which in human terms, I guess, is a torn hamstring. So it's put him on the sidelines for the moment.
So you say on the sidelines at the moment. No decision has been made as yet about his future career?
No. At his age, it's very possible he's run his last race. But until we get him home, which he's due to come home Friday, we'll get him looked at and get some expert opinions on the severity of it, which I believe at this stage is only a minor tear. It's from the bottom up versus from their top down, which is a lot worse injury. We'll have a look at it and just decide whether we give him time off. But certainly he'll have time off where we'll register him for stud duties and get him tested and look to draw some straws from him. And that may very well be the way we head with his future plans. If his zest for racing is there and the injury allows him to race on, that's something we'll determine a bit further down the track, but that's probably at least 3 months away.
So you did say he will be coming home and returning to Queensland to your property sometime this week?
Yeah, that's right, on Wednesday.
Alrighty, so that will be looked at by veterinary advice and you'll gauge further from there. And as you say, he will be registered at stud. We spoke to Debbie a couple of weeks ago after the group win there in Hobart, and also we spoke to you not so long ago, and Debbie was telling us that she has fielded a lot of inquiries about him being standing at stud, and you also have taken many, many phone calls here in Queensland as well.
Yeah, that's right. He's a very popular dog, particularly in Tasmania. He's known for his high cruising speed and ability to compete and chase and with good field sense. And I guess from a breeding point of view, I'm an expert that do dabble in it quite often. As a breeder, he offers a lot of choice for breeders with the Just the Best line, which there's not a lot of stud dogs around that offer that now. And on top of that, he's got the Upcross Through the Dam line with Premier Fantasy, which he himself is quite a breed shaper. So I think as a stud dog proposition, he will offer breeders plenty of choice and alternative to what is out there, and also hopefully complement the stud ranks that are currently available to breeders.
And, of course, you had a number of greyhounds listed for sale in the Richmond puppy auction there, and they were very much sought after, and a lot of those were closely related to Leroy.
Yeah, John, his mother, Fantasy Royale, she's had five litters now, and her fifth was her final litter. She's had 23 pups to race, 22 win. I think there's three track record holders and five or six group finalists in there, including, of course, Leroy Rogers now won a group one. So she's been a very good producer, and she comes out of a line that's continued to produce. So every hope is there that Leroy Rogers will continue that that on her behalf. So yeah, very, very looking forward to it.
Jeff, given the scenario he doesn't make it back to the racetrack, we might do a bit of reminiscing here this morning. When you first got him and put him into work and started racing him, did you ever think that he would reach the heights at over 4 years of age that he has?
He broke in very quick. The whole line, the whole litter was quite good, and we bred him as we did his mother, so we've had a very close affiliation, obviously, with him right through his race career from the day he was born right up until this moment. He's always had ability, and he's always had a zest for being a race dog. Unfortunately, when his box manners started to fall away a bit because he was over keenness, we never imagined he would become a group dog, but we always knew how quick he was, and whether it be a trial where he'd run 22:40 on trial day at Albion Park, or in a race where, given everything went right, he'd run good time. We just always knew he was a quick dog. So, you can't make a slow dog fast. You can certainly make a fast dog slow, but if you do everything right by a fast dog, they'll always be a fast dog. So, and he's always been that. He's had to find the right environment for him to race in, and when we chose Hobart for him because of the track, unfortunately we don't have that one-term track up here, it allowed him to ply his trade and be the dog he is.
As you say, that he did go around Albion Park over the shorts there, and he excelled up the straight at Capella Bar, and of course he holds the track record there at 19:22, and that's an absolute phenomenon run. And of course he returned late last year to win a number of races, including the Capella Bar Cup and also the Capelbourne Cup on Melbourne Cup Day, which he's won for the last 3 years in succession. And as you say, you had to send him to Hobart because the races just weren't there at the time at Capella Bar, but now that they've gone TAB and Sky, we're getting best eight races pretty much every week, and it's just a shame that this has happened at this particular time. An injury is no good time to happen, but you were thinking about at one stage bringing him back to Queensland to finish off his career at Capella Bar, but that still may be a possibility.
That's right, John. He was going to go through the Devonport Cup Heats tomorrow, and fingers crossed make it through to the final. From there, it was very likely he was going to return to Kapalaba or to Queensland anyway. Unfortunately, he's coming back with an injury, but he was going to come back and finish off his racetrack career at some point, and very likely this month at Queensland, and he just held back for the straight track racing, which he loves. Kapalaba is a wonderful club, offers great prize money at the moment, and his end goal would have been either the Kapalaba Cup or Halborn Cup had he stayed injury free. So we're not discounting it. Probably unlikely now, but you know, we're a glass half full type of thought here, and we're going to get him assessed, and he'll tell us whether he's going to push on. I guess with stud dogs, it's pretty hard to have a dog that's doing stud duties and be a race dog at the same time. And I'm certainly no expert in that field. No, I have spoken to a couple of people who have said that you're more likely to be one rather than both. So, we'll see. We'll see. We'll certainly draw some straws from him in the next 3 months. And that'll allow to give him time to recover from his injury. And we'll make a decision there. Yeah, we may be able to do both once we've got some straws out there, and we may not. But his health and welfare is front and centre for us. And if he doesn't make it to the track, he's certainly got a home for life, and he'll be well looked after here, and food is part of the family, as are most of the dogs I'm looking at right here in the lounge room at the moment. So, somewhere, somehow, he'll form part of the crew and live out a good life.
Given his age, Jeff, and you mentioned you will draw straws, is it something that you will look at either serving naturally, or you'd rather do the straw situation?
I think frozen certainly the way of the present, but I don't discount naturals. We had a stud dog for a while called Leroy Rocker, which is his uncle. It's a little brother to his mother, and he was a very good dog for us with Graham Bate, and we only did froze and still have a number of his straws available. But natural something I wouldn't discount. I haven't really thought about it, but certainly to get straws, particularly down to Tasmania and across the Adelaide Plains, where a lot of bitches from Tasmania head for insemination, froze would be the way to go.
All right. Now, given his popularity over the last 12 months since he's been in Tasmania, he's got a whole brand of new followers down there, but he's already had the following in Queensland. But he seems to now have a following Australia-wide. Everywhere you go, everyone talks about Leroy when he wins and so forth. So no doubt you're going to continue to have plenty of interest, possibly in a racing career or following his stud career down the track when he starts producing the litters down the track. What about a contact number for you, Jeff? If anybody listening this morning wants to get in contact with you and would like to get a straw for Leroy Rogue for their brood bitches.
Yeah, sure. We're going to establish a website and do a little bit of promotion for him. I'm very much contactable on this mobile, which is 0419-488-761. You can also find us on Greyhound Data, and we'll set up a Facebook page at some point. So it's very important that we get our details out there so people can get in contact with us. And we're very much looking forward to hopefully seeing some pups on the ground in the future and cheering them on. So we've got a number of brood bitches we've already looking at placing to him as soon as they're ready to come on and promote from within and see where we head.
To say the career's not over, what about a highlight to date? Is it the Hobart 1000 win, or have you got another race in mind that sticks in your mind as a good win on the day, or it may have been a day that he got beat?
No, I think Group 1, it's the pinnacle of where we want to head in the industry so far as racing is concerned. I always value their first race win and their first start when you breed them. It's the result of a lot of time and effort getting into the rearing, the breaking and education of the dogs. So to feel the racetrack performance is always high, but certainly a Group 1 win. I was very emotional that night, even though I was at Albion Park. I had some duties to perform there with another race dog, and there was a time where after I'd put him away and rang the wire, I got quite emotional, so which is something I don't normally do, and I guess it reinforced the magnitude of what we'd achieved as owner and breeders. And obviously full credit to Debbie and Ted Medhurst and their families for what they'd achieved with the dog in their care. So it was a real good team effort. And, I'd say that it'd have to certainly rank as the highlight of his career, yes.
Just before we let you go, you mentioned his first win. Where was his first win?
First win was at Albion Park in a maiden over 520. And then he won a novice from there, and he raced at Grafton and Ipswich and to Palabar, obviously, and we took him down for the coursing down at Victoria. I probably made the mistake of a two-day drive down, and unfortunately took it out of him, and he came back quite a crook dog and needed a bit of time off, but... We got him back to the track without any problem and pushed on.
And the rest is history, as they say. Been to Hobart for the last 12 months and he's never looked back. Well, it's not a good time that we talked to you this morning, Jeff. We hope that everything is okay with Leroy. And as I said, he's got a great following at the moment. And no doubt we'll keep in touch down the track as progress and reports come through. And you'll let us know how things progress.
Certainly will, John. Thank you for your time.
On behalf of all of us, Jeff, congratulations on the way you, Jane and Debbie have managed him, and let's hope that's not the end of We See Leroy. Thanks for joining us, Jeff, and congratulations with him.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
That's Jeff Crawford, the owner of the great Leroy Rogue. Well, as we've been talking about, he's a scratching for the Devonport Cup for tomorrow. We've got some outstanding heats, though, and coming online to join us this morning to preview the heats of the Devonport Cup is Brennan Ryan from Tasmania. Brennan, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. It's one of the great races on the calendar here in Tasmania, and as you said, we've got good quality in the eight heats, and hopefully I can find you a winner or two.
All right, we'll go through them pretty quickly. In the first heat of the Devonport Cup will be race number one on the program, and tab.com.au has gone up with the market. And Finnegan's Way at $2.60, Hello Nugget $3.80, Bridgewood Brianna at $5, Sebastian Lee at $5. Which way are you going here in the first heat?
In the first heat, John, I've gone for number seven, Finnegan's Way. He's in good form at the moment, and I've got Sebastian Lee running for second with Hello Nugget and Bridgewood Brianna.
In the second heat of the Devonport Cup over the 452, we've got Just Browsing, the favourite, at $2.40. He's got a picket fence beside its name. Landlord at $3.20. Hello Rhonda at $6. And Willie Wynn at $8. You're going with the favourite here?
Absolutely. She's got a picket fence beside her name, and she's in great form at the moment. Resumed off a good win at Hobart over 340. With that in mind, I've gone second picket with Landlord from box one. Then with Hello Rhonda, who came off a great win in the consolation of the Hobart 1000, and then with Mac Massive to round out the first four selections there.
The third heat of the Devonport Cup, and we've got Huxley at $1.85, Sacred Shadow at $3, Fernando Drums at $3.30. These are the three runners in the market, and Huxley couldn't have been more impressive on its Tasmanian debut last Wednesday.
Well said, John. He was absolutely spectacular coming off from box eight there. He got a charm run when the six went down to the fence, and 25-43. And speaking to Paul Abella, he's really happy with him. So with that in mind, I've gone with him on top to beat Fernando Drums, who ran a real good race separately running 25-59. And then I've gone with Sacred Shadow and Lily Lola from box one to fill out that selection as well.
In the fourth heat of the Devonport Cup, we've got the Victorian visitor Emerald Rainbow for Dave Geale at $1.75, Miss Greer $3.60, and Call Me Will at $5.50. Another shorty here.
Yes, look, Emerald Rainbow, speaking with David Geale the other week, look, this dog, he's got so much ability, he's yet to show it, and hopefully it comes on... comes out tomorrow. So I'm still going to stick with him. I've put him on top with Miss Green number two, and then I've gone with Rivenly Lad number four and Windburn Shakes number seven.
In the 50 to the Devonport Cup, My Bro Regis at $2.50, Buckle Up Rose at $3.50, Leonard's Boy at $5, Hot Devil there at $8 for Debbie Cannon. We wish Debbie the best of luck there because she won't have Leroy there, but there's a chance with Hot Devil in Heat 5 of the Cup.
Certainly does. And My Boy Regis, for people out there as well, John, the dog trial between races at Devonport on Wednesday, I don't know exactly what he trialled, but I know he broke 26 seconds. I've gone with him on top to beat Miss Hannigan. She's the Country Oaks winner of last season with Buckle Up Rose and then Leonard's Boy to fill out in that first four.
In Heat 6 of the Devonport Cup, another visitor, we've got Despacito, the favourite, $2.30. Buckle Up Axion, $3.50. Be Like Bill at $4. Apollo Blue at $8. So the local for Mick Stringer, Despacito, the favourite at $2.30.
Put in a great run in the Hobart 1000 to run third in that final there. And his run on last Wednesday was a great run for second. So I've gone with him on top. Apollo Blue, I picked for second. He's got a picket fence beside his name. He's actually a finalist of the Devonport Cup this time last year. And then I've gone with Buckle Up Axon and Winsome Jesse to fill out the placings there.
Heat number 7, you've got Stop Line at $1.75, another one to make the Hobart 1000 final. Rip the Band-Aid at $3.80, Muppet at $6, and Zipping Blaze at $8. Stop Line, the odds on he, $1.75.
Yeah, look, John, I've got to stick with him. He made his first group race appearance in the Heat, 20th heat, in a brilliant fashion. Run 5th, he copped a lot of interference in the final. I've still put him on top. I've gone with Muppet for Pat Pearce from Drysart for second. She ran a bottler of a race last start out and won previously at Launceston, and she's in great form. And I've gone with Zone In to run third and Zipping Blaze for the fourth.
The final heat of the Devonport Cup, and the Queenslander, Corey Cody, is the favourite at $2.30, ahead of the Victorian Zipping Inglis at $3, Duper at $5, and Two Bills at $6. Which way are you going here?
Look, I'm still a Queenslander at heart, John, so I've still got my own through my veins, and I'm going to pick him on top. He's in the care of Eric Haldane, which you can't pick any better than that. Zippy Inglis comes off a good run at Murray Bridge and his last start win at Warrnambool was in a great fashion. I've gone him for second pick with Two Bills for Gavin Whitney in third pick and Duper for fourth.
Righty, there's an early look at the 8 heats of the Devonport Cup. We're without Leroy Rogue, but still outstanding heats of that Devonport Cup tomorrow. Is there one that stands out for you, Brennan, for our punters that could put their money on tomorrow?
Look, John, I've gone through it, and I could say I've easily lost a bit of sleep over this, but I've actually gone for, I'm going to go for Zipping Blaze for Matt Lanigan. Look, he comes up against Stop Line, but the dog, he's running a real good race at the moment. He ran second at Warrnambool the other week, and I think, look, he goes without a look on the track, but with that wide draw at Devonport, if he can get up there within the first four, I think he's going to be hard to beat, and he'll be the smoky of the field in the 17th of the Cup from Box 8.
All right, so we'll watch race 7, number 8, Zipping Blaze. Brendan, thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll catch up and preview the final with you next week.
Appreciate it, John, and look forward to it. Talk to you soon.
That's Brennan Ryan joining us this morning to have a look at the 8 heats of the Devonport Cup. Well, Cozzy, that rounds out another Going Greyhounds program this morning. We've covered a fair deal of territory this morning here and there, and we'll be back to do it again next Monday morning.
Good on you, John. Look forward to catching up with you then, John Brash, with the Going Greyhounds. 9 past 11 at Sky Sports Radio.